Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect the community of entrepreneurs. Right now, I've got Shireen Bazadi joining us. She's the CEO of Home Franchise Concepts. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me here. It's exciting.
So break it down for us. I'm super excited. You've got a very cool business. Tell us about it.
Thank you. Well, Home Franchise Concepts is the place where we have direct-to-consumer brands for home improvement products and services. We have three different brands under the same umbrella.
We got to tell us what they are. You can't just leave it like that.
I know. Well, Budget Blinds is all things window coverings. Anything that goes on a window, we sell it, but mostly custom window coverings. And with Budget Blinds, we're the largest retailer of custom window coverings in North America. And Tailored Living is whole home organization. So anything that goes inside the home, in your closets, garages, and garage flooring. With that, we're the largest whole home organization franchise in North America. And our last brand is called Concrete Craft. And it's decorative concrete. It's like putting icing, a little bit of concrete, and then they stamp it to make it look like stone and wood. And it's really exciting. And we're the only franchise system for that.
Very cool. How do you decide which ones fall underneath the brands for your franchises?
I'm not sure if I understand the question.
Like, you have three right now, you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. How did you decide that those were going to be the ones that are underneath your brand?
Oh, I see. Well, with Budget Blinds started the whole thing. In 1992, a group of guys decided we're going to start selling window coverings. They came from that background. And then it was franchised. And we started selling to friends and family and customers some franchises with Budget Blinds. And over time, as we did better and better, we really knew there was a place, there was a secret sauce. If we did this formula right, we could sell a lot of franchises and bring a lot of people into their own business, to their own business and their own destiny, basically. And so we did. About 2004, we started selling 15 to 20 franchises a month, which is in the world of franchising.
Wow.
If you do 15 to 20 a year, you've done a good job.
Yeah.
And in a couple of years, we sat back and said, what are we good at? Are we good at just selling window coverings or are we good at franchising? Mm-hmm. We decided we're good at franchising. Yeah. And with that, we started Tailored Living from scratch again. Mm-hmm. We want to be the place for people to call home. To call home to own their own franchise, as well to call home with home-related products. Right. And so when we grew Tailored Living, we realized we're on to something. And with that, we brought on board Concrete Craft.
So you were saying that a lot of franchises should be happy and excited if they do 15, 20, or 30 in a year. You guys were doing that on a monthly basis. What was the key to your success? What allowed that to happen for you?
It was a combination of putting together all of the right ingredients. And these are the right ingredients. We created a concept that allowed anybody from any walk of life to come into our system with the least amount of capital required. It's a mobile concept. Our franchises go to the customer's home. Then we would bring them in, train them, negotiate on their behalf, and put together products, programs, and warranties that make them successful. We stay on top of the trend in the marketplace and support them through their success. Putting all of these ingredients together over time, you know, through blood, sweat, and tears and figuring it out as entrepreneurs do, landed us on such a solid concept that people just gravitated towards it. Mm-hmm. People that wanted to own their own business, they were enterprising, got into business, did well, stayed in business, and the word got out.
So you guys had basically a turnkey model that you were providing them on a silver platter. Like, you come in, you invest, and we give you essentially the recipe for success. And that's what you were providing.
Yes. And we'll combine all of the intelligence from all of you franchisees and all of the purchasing power, and we'll negotiate on your behalf. And that just over time gained even more momentum.
Well, before you became a rock star at the franchise world, what were you doing before that?
Me personally?
Yeah. Before you were just a business rock star with the franchises.
Thank you for calling me a rock star.
What did you do before? Did you have a job? Did you go to school?
Yes. Right before I started with Budget Blinds. And I started with Budget Blinds as an offsite CFO. The company was small. And I was at the time thinking that I want to be in charge of my own destiny. Why work 9 to 5? Let me be a consultant. But prior to that, I was a chief financial officer of a mortgage bank. And there we serviced about $1 billion of servicing and We had 22 branches. So I was really involved with the day-to-day of business, understood that. And prior to that, I was with big corporation, Ernst & Young.
Oh, Ernst & Young.
Yes.
I pay them for different properties that I have. They're the ones that are the ones managing it. Very familiar with Ernst & Young.
There you go.
CEO of Home Franchise Concept, Shireen Bazadi, is joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. The question I want to ask you is what I ask everyone who comes on the show, and that is, on your journey so far, as an entrepreneur for 25 years, you've become the rock star with the franchise world. What has been one of the biggest aha moments that you feel like you've had? A big light bulb moment as an entrepreneur?
Big light bulb moment was that as an entrepreneur, to stay focused on the bottom line wasn't going to bring us the value, the financial rewards we were looking for. Mm. It was staying focused on doing right by our franchises. So that has become the mission. What we live for is to look, see to it that others, our franchisees, get to be as successful as they want to be. If we're instruments to that, if we make every decision we make in the company, every initiative we take on, we use that as our moral compass, we end up prospering as a whole.
Did you make the mistake initially thinking that focusing on bottom line and increasing sales was what you're going after? And is that how you had this light bulb moment?
I don't think we ever did that.
Or were you doing this from day one?
I think we were doing it. We just didn't declare it. We didn't understand our own DNA. Mm. It wasn't until later on when we were bigger, when we sat back and we said, what are we about? What is the gauge against which we're going to measure our decisions? And that became our guiding light. That guiding light has proven to be very successful for us.
I know something that's difficult when it comes to franchises, and I say this because I have clients that have franchises. And what can be difficult is keeping congruency of company culture throughout all of the different franchises. There's the corporate franchises, and then there's the franchisees that are the ones that have invested. They don't always want to do things the same way. Even though you give them a turnkey model, they don't always want to follow it. Even though you tell them these are the company culture values, they want to add their own little thing to it. How have you been able to keep that from not happening, I guess? Maybe it has happened. I don't know. But how do you guys...
Gosh, you know franchising well. Yes, those are some of the challenges for a franchisor-franchisee relationship. Yeah. I think what we've done really, really well, and that's part of the reason we are as successful and as large as we are, is that very early on, it was very important for us to have an excellent franchisee-franchisor relationship. Mm. And the way we fostered that was with the guiding principle I said earlier. Every decision will have to be made with the franchisee's best interest in mind. And that echoed across everything we've done. They realized that. One of the major steps we took is that we moved away from percent royalty to flat royalty. Okay. So the thought process is, as franchisees get more and more successful, they shouldn't pay us larger dollars because they've done better. Mm-hmm. We thought it makes sense for them to really just know that we're sort of a fee that they pay, that they can count on, they can estimate on a going forward basis. That took away the adversarial relationship between franchisee, franchisor. When we ask them what they're doing in the way of sales, they know we're only doing that to help them.
Not to get your larger royalty on
the back.
It's actually for their benefit.
Exactly. And we don't police our franchisees. Even we have our franchisees buy from our vendor alliance. We put together a vendor alliance for them. And our thought process is this whole time has been, even though we can tell them they have to buy from our vendor alliance, we've decided our programs would have to stand on their own merit. Franchisees would want to buy from them voluntarily, and that's happened because we've designed everything with their best interest in mind. If you want to be successful, if you want to own your own destiny and your own life, we are the right fit because our capital requirement is there, but it's low. Our ongoing capital expectations because of flat royalty is low. Yet we've been in business for a long time. We are a solid foundation. We can support them to their success. So all we really require from them, you don't have to know design. You don't have to have background in sales. You don't have to understand necessarily how to navigate through construction.
Yeah.
None of that. We'll teach you that stuff. What we can't teach is your heart. Mm. How do we find that? Through a process that we've put in place through our franchise licensing process, which is we ask questions, we engage. We give information, we engage to find out whether or not it's the right fit for them.
That's fantastic. Well, as I continue to peel back the layers on your business, I'm finding out why you guys have been so successful. We'll be right back with Shireen Bazadi. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we connect a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Oh, hey.
Hey, did you hear? My friend's company was the victim of an email impersonation attack.
It's a serious threat to every business.
What if cyber criminals target us and trick accounting into making a wire transfer?
Don't worry. We have Barracuda.
So we're secured?
Yeah. Barracuda uses artificial intelligence to detect and block spear phishing and account takeover attempts.
What a relief.
Don't become a victim. Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda. Your journey secured.
When's the last time you checked your credit score? Those three-digit scores can have a huge impact on your financial life. Credit Karma can help you with free scores, free reports, and free monitoring. Credit Karma also gives you the tips, tools, and advice you need to understand your credit and how to improve it. You can even spot potential errors on your credit report. That can mean better interest rates on loans and credit cards, which can save you thousands of dollars in the long run. Signing up is completely free. No credit card needed. Visit creditkarma.com or download the Credit Karma app now. This is your tech...
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Shireen Bazadi is joining us. She's the CEO of the Home Franchise Concept. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
So good to be here. Thank
you. Recap first what your company does.
Yes, Home Franchise Concept is a family of direct-to-consumer home improvement products and services. Budget blinds, with that, we're the largest retailer of custom window coverings in North America. Tailored living is a concept with whole home organization. Inside the home, garage and garage flooring, and concrete craft. With that, we sell decorative concrete.
How have you guys been scaling? So there's a lot of different ways that you can find people to invest in the franchise, but you've done it at a whole larger scale than so many other franchises out there that I've heard of. What's been the key? I know you have a great turnkey model. We were talking about that. But
yes.
How do you continue to find more people to grow, as you guys have been doing so well at?
Yes, multiple ways.
Okay.
One, our franchisees. We have a very strong referral base. Mm. They refer their friends and family and customers to buy one of our concepts, if it's not the concept they own. Two, we have a very good reputation in the business broker community. In fact, we've won multiple awards, and so they send referrals our way. And three, we have our own direct-to-consumer or direct-to-potential franchisee advertising, mostly on radio and some digital.
Okay. And are you doing anything on social media? I haven't heard any social media stuff.
Yes. We're pretty active on social media. Okay. And so online presence altogether with to consumer as well to the franchise, potential franchise base. Yeah. We do all kinds of activity with social media. And in 2017... we have a lot of exciting stuff to specifically share on social media.
Can you give us a little behind the scenes stuff?
Absolutely. 2017 is our 25th year in business.
Wow. Congratulations. Real quick stat.
Mm-hmm.
9 out of 10, it's actually 96% to be more specific. 96% of businesses fail in 10 years. That doesn't mean that the other 4% are profitable. It just means that they're surviving and somehow they're still standing. So it's realistically, it's like a fraction of 1% are able to survive and thrive as long as you have. So first, congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thanks. That's a very interesting stat. And in the world of franchising, things are even
smaller than that.
Absolutely. So thank you. In our 25th year, we're on pace to have installed 25 million window coverings.
Wow.
So we've covered 25 million windows. And we're on pace right now to be installing 50,000 window coverings a week with budget blinds.
Wow. I was going to say, don't say a day.
I know that will happen someday.
That's insane.
It is. It is. It's very exciting. So we're going to celebrate that. And across all of our brands, of course, with Tailored Living, we operate out of 2,100 cities today, which is amazing knowing that we established it in 2007.
Yeah.
And with Concrete Craft, our newest brand, we've been able to, we're the only franchise system for decorative concrete, and we're going to more than double its size in 2017.
Well, I can guarantee the creators of those products that are selling them to you, who's moving so much volume, they must love you guys.
So interesting you should mention that, because one of our major strengths is our vendor alliance.
Yeah.
We have...
It has to be if you're doing 50,000 a week.
Right? We have a team that actually sources the world on behalf of our franchisees. And that's really one of the major strengths of being a part of our franchise system is, as an individual business owner, you go out there, you worry about running your business, dealing with your customers, you leave staying on top of trends, negotiating with vendors, all of that, putting together programs, warranties up to us. I mean, we, with budget blinds, for instance, have a what's called no questions asked warranty, and it literally is no questions asked, and nobody has that. That means if one of our franchises install a window coverings and 10 years from now, your dog chews on it, you get to return that, no questions asked, and have it replaced.
Wow, no questions asked guarantee is something that a lot more companies should learn to adopt. We've got the CEO of Home Franchise Concept, Shireen Bazadi, joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect the community of entrepreneurs. Building a team, it's not something that's easy. We lightly touched on it, but for the internal team, the corporate team, how do you make sure that you surround yourself with the best people? What's your turnover? Have you kept a lot of the executives and the team for a long time? Or do you have a, I feel like you would. I feel like if you've been around for 25 years, you probably kept a lot of the same internal people. Tell me.
That is so exciting. I'm so glad you're asking that question.
Yeah.
I'm very proud to say that our executive team on average, has been together for 13 years.
Wow.
And one thing that stands out about Home Franchise Concepts, the one thing that we're very proud of is our culture. We started an entrepreneurial ground. We were small. We started from scratch. And we've really learned, taking measured risks, how to grow the company. We've maintained that entrepreneurial spirit. So today, we were lucky enough to be able to expand our team. We've actually hired lots of people in 2016 because we're on such a growth path. And we've been able to attract a lot of good talent because of the reputation of the company and the size that we are and the trajectory that we're on. But when we recruit someone, the number one question is, would this person fit us culturally? Do they have an entrepreneurial spirit? And are they all about doing the right thing? Do they have their moral compass in the right place, which is to making sure our franchisees do well and we as a company do good in the world?
Well, you're obviously somebody who's built an amazing team. And I don't know if other people have called you this, but I'm going to call you the queen of franchising. So my question is, if you had to go into a whole new industry, couldn't it be franchise? You know, start all over again. No money, no connections. With all the new exciting stuff going on in the world with technology, what would you want to get started in? You had to start over.
I would first of all find what's important to me. I would hone in on what's important to me. Where's my personal sweet spot? And how does that fit within who I am? And then zoom in and get that done. Today, when you ask me, I'm going to still be leaning towards helping enterprising individuals, whatever that means, because my head is so stuck with helping enterprising individuals in the world of franchising. If we take it a step back and say, maybe it's just helping individuals realize their dreams, their financial dreams, that may be a combination.
Yeah. Well, I love that you first started on not what industry I want to get in, but following like your passion and what you love to do and the people that you want to help, because I think that's a great shift. Speaking of people you want to help, we've got a room full of aspiring entrepreneurs, let's pretend, and they all have jobs and they're watching this show, listening to the show, because they want to figure out, how's the right time to cut the cord? What are the things I need to have in place before I make the leap, before I become an entrepreneur? I want to put that on you. I want to know what you believe are three things that the aspiring entrepreneurs need to know before they cut the cord and get started.
Do you want to strike a good life-work balance. Are you ready for that? If that's what you want, then you need to put behind it. And then the second question is, what do I do? Where do I go? Franchising is actually an interesting model for people like that.
You're an inspiration. And if somebody wants to learn more about you, follow you, do you have any websites or social media for them?
Oh, well, Home Franchise Concepts. We're all over that. And of course, in social media as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you very
much.
Appreciate it.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We connect a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Joining me are two brothers, and we've got the co-founders of M13, Courtney and Carter Ream. Pleasure to have you guys.
Thanks for having us.
So tell us about your company. What is M13?
We recently sold our company a few months ago. And so M13 is kind of our new holding company, which is equal parts investing and then really trying to kind of accelerate and launch brands kind of at scale. Unlike today, when we left Goldman, there wasn't this idea that everybody was in tech or an entrepreneur. And so we'd go to the dentist. They're like, kid, you're an idiot. Everyone's getting rich at Goldman Sachs. And then, you know, 2008 happens a few years later. And they're like, you saw it coming, didn't you, kid? And I was like, well, probably wouldn't have started a super premium liquor company if I saw the crash coming. Probably would have just shorted the market. But
yeah,
that's what we did.
Right. Yeah, we all knew, right?
Yeah.
You two have a pretty impressive track record at a young age. You guys are both in your 30s. You have a pretty, I mean, you were just telling me just a second before we jumped on, the people and the companies that you've invested in. First, name a couple of those companies because they're impressive and they're even products that I've bought myself. And then tell me, how do you guys pick the winners?
Yeah, I mean, we've been lucky enough, and in full disclosure, we only talk about the winners. We never talk about the losers, like any good investor.
But hey, you get that one big winner.
We got enough good winners.
It's like gambling in Vegas.
Yes. So we were lucky enough to invest in things like Warby Parker, Birchbox, Bonobos, SpaceX, Pinterest, Lyft, Blue Bottle Coffee, Shake Shack, Suja Juice.
I mean, you just named enough winners to make up for
thousands. Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you cut me off. I was running out. I only had 10 more winners. But I think we've been fortunate enough. I think, you know, our unique place in the world is we've been lucky that we've gotten to know a lot of these founders through, you know, top entrepreneur conferences and speaking. Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's the person that makes these companies successful. So take when we invested in Warby Parker. Did we think Warby Parker, a bunch of guys from Penn who were going to sell glasses online, did we think it would be a $1.3 billion company? Probably not. But we had enough faith in those guys that they were going to figure it out. And obviously they have.
Very cool. And I watched the documentary on Warby Parker, so it's cool to know that you guys were some of the people that helped them get off the ground.
Yeah.
What a genius product.
Yeah.
In such an industry where I feel like, how did nobody else capitalize on that? Like $300-$500 for glasses when realistically it's plastic.
Yeah.
And then you pay with the prescription.
I mean, that's what's great. I mean, we always try to look for, as investors, we always look for these monster industries that are ripe for disruption. So you think about glasses, huge industry. Nobody was doing it. It
like
seems so obvious.
One company dominates the whole thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Luxottica dominates. Mm-hmm. Nobody was doing it. So anytime we can find that, we recently invested in a tech-enabled waste company, right? There's two large $25 billion garbage companies. No one's thinking to themselves, how do I use tech and waste? Mm. Sure enough, one guy's doing it, and you know, very quickly they become a $1 billion company.
So how are you picking the winners? Because I mean, when you say it, it sounds easy, but there's so many investors out there, and I feel like the real key is not only picking one winner. I mean, one winner can literally just set you up for life, but it's multiple win after win after win. That doesn't happen by accident. So how do you guys do it?
I think it's a lot about, honestly, just about hustle, because people will say, hey, you, it seems like you're aware of every deal.
So I mean, deal flow, you
so
gotta
we,
have a lot.
We look at a ton, but it's because we're always, you know, talking to people, being in touch with them, because the minute you're not top of mind when someone's doing something, whether it's them raising money and reaching out to you, whether directly or indirectly, then you can be the third person but never get a look at anything. Mm. So I think it's a lot about just hustling and constantly staying in touch with people in hopefully a good way. And then also, I think it's about, you know, people want people in their deals that add value, right? Mm. And that comes in all different ways. And I think we pride ourselves on kind of being chameleons and that we can add value in tons of different ways. So I think we get people now, hopefully we have a little more track record, saying, I just want you in my deal because there's a number of ways you can help me. And it goes from there.
Yeah, I think the thing I always tell every investor is you need context, right? And so so often I'll have guys that go, oh my God, I love this company. But they only looked at five companies. So that might have been the best of the five they looked at.
It's based on your references, right?
But exactly. But you have no context. I looked at 100. I actually know that's my 97th worst one, right? And so it's like when my neighbor brings me a deal and he goes, oh my God, Carter, can you look at this? And I'm like, thinking to myself, I don't even need to look at it because if it got to my neighbor, I know it's a crappy deal, right? but he doesn't know that, right? Because he doesn't have the context.
The filter that it's coming through has a lot of context as well. I love that you brought up context. You were saying that there's a few things, right, that you guys, or maybe a huge list of things that you guys provide that's different than just the money. So it sounds like you guys are more strategic partners. What are some of those things that separate you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think the reason we call it our holding company M13 is because it's the brightest cluster of stars in the universe. It's brighter than all the stars collectively that make it up. And I think that's how we kind of view the world. For us these days, it's all about kind of doing things faster and better than the competition. Mm-hmm. And so, right, in the old days, I always joke around, if I knew a lot of people, head of a tech company, CEO of Time Inc., things like that, it means, oh, I get invited to cool parties. Yeah. Now we live in such a connected digital world. The ways that brands are working together and things like that is more connected than ever, right? And so I think one of our unique points of differentiation is we can connect the dots so quickly because of our experiences, both investors and operators. We just know so many people, right? And I also think the other part of it is we know what it's like to operate and sell a business successfully. We know what it's like to invest in a lot of these successful businesses. And we know the pain points that almost every entrepreneur is going to face. And so one of the things we're trying to do at M13 is literally institutionalize solving all the same pain points people kind of deal with. So if you were going to start a wine company, a wine glass company, you'd have to go figure out where to get those in China, right? So, and if he were starting a t-shirt company, he'd have to figure out where to get it in China. So we've partnered with a supply chain that, you know, does 800 SKUs in Target and Walmart. And so when we want to get a product to market, we can hopefully help a company get it done faster, quicker, and better than kind of they could on their own.
Which I think it boils down to, even at a young age, you guys have been great at collecting a large collection of experiences and wisdom, which I think is positioning you in the position you're in now. Co-founders of M13, two brothers, Courtney and Carter Ream, are joining us. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. I want to know what you guys are looking for when you pick a deal. And obviously something disruptive and maybe the horse and the jockey, and is it the right team and is it the right product that's going to be disruptive and can they move fast? But what are the things that you feel like you really look for? And maybe also, you answer what are you looking for, and you answer what are some of the mistakes people make when they're pitching you a product? We'll start with you first.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of this stuff is obvious, right? You're backing the horse, you're backing the industry, all that stuff. But right, if you assume that it's a huge industry, huge market size, and a good horse, then there's still a lot of stuff.
The worst when somebody comes in and is like, it's a $6 billion opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, now if I could just have 1% of 60 billion, I was like, me too. But I think really what we look for is kind of what we call frictionless scaling. So Uber's obviously the most famous example. It's a $66 billion software company, and they have the most revenue per employee of any company on the planet, right? Because it's basically software that once it works, they can do it everywhere else. And so for us, that's so critical because in today's day and age, how you go from zero to 60 so quickly, it means you have less capital, less time because you don't have to build up HR, things like that. So I think that's the thing we look for the most is what does success look like for this company? And then is the risk and reward, is the right trade-off there, right? So many times we have to pass on deals because we feel like there's too much risk and not enough upside, right? And so we're looking for things with limited risk and really high upside.
Which is the dream scenario.
Yes,
so what are some of the mistakes people make when they come to you guys? Obviously, we just laughed about one of them, which is when somebody comes in and says, it's a $500 billion industry, we're going to just get a 0.01%. That's a big mistake, but what else?
I think it's partly about connecting the dots, or as I like to say, pattern recognition, meaning someone says, hey, this is a great industry, and I can introduce them to this person and do that. But they actually, and it's one thing that I think we're really good at, is actually figuring out how to see that pattern recognition and have there be synergy between connecting two or three pieces and have that be much bigger, because a lot of people just kind of do things in a silo or they do things sequentially and they don't look at what success looks like a couple years down the road. Because I think one thing we see, and we just wrote an article about this a few months ago, is don't confuse quote unquote a successful company with a successful exit. And that doesn't have to be your goal, but we've seen a lot of successful companies that are sitting there looking for a buyer right now and may never find one, in companies that you would know that could literally go to zero because there's just no natural way to exit it.
And what do you think that boils down to? I mean, systems is obviously something. If the company can not only sustain success, but scale success, that's obviously the perfect business to acquire. But what else? What are some maybe things that people wouldn't consider?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're, the one thing insight that everyone comes to realize is if your acquirer is a big company, whatever your sales are, whether it's 8 million, 30 million, 60 million, it's a drop in the bucket for a big acquirer. And we had the same thing, right? The company that acquired us was a very large company. And so you have to give one of these large companies a reason to acquire you, right? So Unilever the other day buys Dollar Shave Club. It wasn't because Dollar Shave Club was doing 200 plus million in revenue. That's great. But that wasn't the reason they paid close to $1 billion, right? They paid because they wanted the direct-to-consumer channel, and that's worth something to them. No different than when Facebook bought Instagram for $1 billion. Everyone said, oh my God, they're crazy. Well, today Instagram's probably worth 60, 70, 80 billion as part of Facebook. And so I think, again, you always have to think about who your acquirer is down the road. And what reason do they have to buy? And usually it's a new sales channel, a new technology, different demographics. So are you touching millennials? Are you touching tree huggers? Whatever it is. But it's not as easy as we're successful, so someone's going to buy
us. We just looked at a business that did about 30 million in sales in 3 years, which obviously sounds great, but it was 30 million of what I'd call kind of so what, meaningless sales, because it wasn't strategic. It wasn't 30 million of strategic sales that led someone to get excited. And, you know, again, it's fine if you're not starting a business to sell it, but if you were doing that, you should have conserved your cash, run it in a very different way, run it for the long term. So they invested like they were trying to sell it, but literally, I don't think thought about how or who they were going to sell it to.
Yeah, and $30 million means nothing at the end of the day. I love when people throw around these numbers about how much their company makes or how much they did in a product launch, because I'm in the expert space. I did $5 million this weekend. Cool, how much did you keep?
Yes.
And so I always think it's so funny. And you watch shows like The Profit. I remember one of my favorite episodes was a company that did $50 million a year. And every year they lost an additional $500,000. And so they actually did $50 million in sales, but they every year kept going deeper in the red. So they were actually going in debt every year. So really, realistically, $50 million a year is nothing, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Numbers don't mean anything until you start to peel back the layers. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a mistake a lot of people make.
And that's actually, funny enough, it's a good segue when you mention The Profit. We're actually on a new show called Hatch that's on Major Markets Network TV.
That was a tee-up for you guys.
Thank you. We appreciate that. It's on CBS, CW, and some other syndicated networks. But we've seen all these shows and we feel like there's these similar pain points between all these businesses and all these entrepreneurs. So what if we could be a part of a TV show where instead of the TV show like The Profit or some other one like Shark Tank be the event, that could be the start, not the end of it. Okay. And so we've joined a new show called Hatch that we think does that.
Yeah, and what we're trying to do with the show, kind of what we're trying to do with M13 as a whole, is go, right, get a product on the show. They're all kind of consumer retail-oriented products, and then think about what comes after the show. And so partners like Walmart and Sam's Club and Home Shopping Network and people like that, and how do we accelerate the growth of those businesses? Because every entrepreneur out there who has these similar products is they're all trying to get into Walmart, or they're all trying to get on Business Rockstars, or all trying to go see this guy. And so how do we kind of help these companies do that and give them unfair advantages?
Thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Thanks so much.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-B-I-B-L-E. 844-91-BIBLE.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. Right now, get your first month's supply for free. All you pay is just $5 for your medical consultation when you go to forhims.com/doctor. After that, it's just $30 for a month's supply. Sure beats paying big bucks for just one blue pill, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need an awkward in-person doctor's appointment to get the prescription. Hims has doctors online who can prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. It's affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/doctor. That's forhims.com/doctor for your first month for just $5. forhims.com/doctor.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate.
How can you operate your business more efficiently? Joining us to answer that is our guest, Dilari Amin. She's the co-founder and president of Phenomenon. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. So how can we do it? What's the keys?
I think you really have to pay attention to your business model. So many times when entrepreneurs are starting their business, we get hung up on the top line, and that's important. Mm-hmm. That's what grows the business. That's what gets attention from the VCs and the investors.
What do we mean by top line?
Top line is your revenue, you know, okay. Your sales, whatever is, you know, sales from customers, you know, subscriptions, products, whatever is being sold, that's your top line. Okay. That's your revenue in. And oftentimes, entrepreneurs are not focused enough on the bottom line. What's the profit? What's the net revenue? What's the EBITDA of your business? A lot of times I talk to entrepreneurs who have focused 5, 6, 10 years on top line growth, and their numbers look really strong. First year, $1 million.
But then you look at EBITDA and then the bottom line.
And it's terrible. Yeah. And I think, and this is especially true for not the guys who are taking VC money, perhaps, or investor money, but especially the homegrown entrepreneur who are trying to bootstrap mm-hmm. their business because they think top line is the most important, and it is. But at some point, every entrepreneur is going to want to sell their business or want to exit strategy, unless you want to, you know, sail with it into the horizon. You want to be able to take cash off the table, take some chips off the table, de-risk yourself. In that scenario, even if you want to bring in a strategic investor, how are you going, you know, they're going to look at your business through bottom line, EBITDA. And that's really important. Focus on that because early on, I would say my first tip is talk to someone who's an M&A expert. find out from them what the multiples on your in your industry are. Yeah. So for beauty products, it might be, you know, 10x of EBITDA. For a agency that's doing reasonably well, it might be 5 to 9x of EBITDA. It's different for every industry, and sometimes it's not on EBITDA, it's on revenue.
Yeah.
So, and that's more of the tech model that we've seen recently. But, you know, knowing that, it gives you a sense. So $1 saved today is going to convert into $9, you know, when you sell the company. And I think that puts a lot into perspective in terms of managing your overhead, managing your expenditure. Yeah. That sounds simpler than it is, but you know, you could
parse. It sounds very simple. So what are some tactful things that we can either do from hiring people, maybe hire some good CPAs or other people to come in and look, you were saying M&A experts. What about putting systems in place? What are some things that we can do tactfully outside of just, you know, articulating? I think it's brilliant because it's a mistake that I see a lot of entrepreneurs make, looking on the top line versus the bottom line and the reason why. But again, what are some tactful things that we can actually put in place and take action from this?
Right, sure. If you're an early stage entrepreneur, you may not have a full-term revenue cycle in place. You haven't been in business for 3 to 4 years to actually see the different seasonalities or the kinks in your revenue cycle. But I would say develop a couple of models, and they could be easy models. So, you know, do a quarterly analysis on your sales and then measure it quarter over quarter or month over month. And that's going to, after the first full year of your business, you'll see if you had a seasonality in your business. And typically for me, my second quarter is the strongest. And I know that having measured that KPI over, you know, 3 to 5 years. So those are the types of things that you want to start doing. Then you want to measure, okay, what's your percentage of, what's your cost percentage of labor cost vis-a-vis your revenue. So if labor is the biggest, then you want to have some perhaps more creative ways of paying people. Maybe you bonus them out, or maybe you, you know, reduce your overhead. You have a variable payroll. Maybe you hire up when you need to. Otherwise, your normal standard payroll is minimal. So that's a way of looking at things. You also want to look at your SG&A and your operating expenses. So if you could do a revenue share with a cost share with a couple other companies, you could do some trade agreements. So you want to keep that number down as well. Once you start to look at your P&L and say, okay, for every, you know, $100 I earn, you know, $60 is my labor cost and $20 is my SG&A and, you know, $5 is my take home or, you know, after taxes, just having that simplified, you can scale that into the tens of millions. I mean, it's not going to be a perfect scale, but that gives you a really good metric in terms of how to keep your focus on the bottom line.
Well, you are on top of your stuff. I see why you get paid the big bucks. Co-founder of Phenomenon, Devarya Min, is joining us. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstar. So those are some tactful things. I think they're awesome. What do you think the beginning entrepreneur needs to know? Are these things that relate to them, or are these things more after you've been in business for 3 or 4 or 5 years, as you were talking about?
I think beginning entrepreneurs need to know, you know, be disciplined right from day one.
Always
know your numbers.
But do some of these things you were just talking about relate to that first year, second year entrepreneur?
I think you can set up the systems. You can. Okay. I think one of the things that I didn't do and I learned from is I should have set up a 3-year projections my first year of business and saying, okay, year one, we're going to do this, year two, year three. It keeps you focused on a goal, and that's good to have.
But is it okay to shift? Because nowadays with the exponential rate of change, things are going to be happening so much that you got to have that 2, 3, 4, 5 year goal or vision, but it is okay to adjust, you're saying.
Absolutely. And it's never going to be true. Exactly. But at least it gives you a benchmark. It gives you a direction because so many entrepreneurs are kind of directionless in the beginning.
Yeah.
They, you know, just running from client to client. It also, if you have that 3-year projection, it's going to keep you disciplined on who you want to take on as a customer or a client and who you don't. And how many products you want to sell at what unit price. I mean, it will start to unlock itself when you put the model in front of you.
Okay, so you just got to get the reps in to really start to see this. But I love these things are tactful things that you can do in the beginning.
Yeah.
That's why they bring in experts like you. Yeah. Devarya Min, co-founder and president of Phenomena. It's always a pleasure to have
you.
Thank you so much. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that the host nor Business Rockstars is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.